Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every week on Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso, I invite an artist, writer, or politician to come to the table and speak from the heart. In ways you probably haven't heard from them before. Some of my favorites are with Tom Hanks, Questlove, and Cate Blanchett. In recent weeks, I talked to actor Dan Levy, director Ava DuVernay, and the editor of The New Yorker, David Remnick. You can listen to Talk Easy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From iHeart Podcasts, I am Fab Five Freddy, and this is 50 Years of Hip Hop Podcast Series. You know, I'm really excited about this show because a lot of people ask me things like, you know, who's your favorite rapper? And, you know, and I realize a lot of the people that ask me these questions, they may not be old enough or they weren't around long enough to really understand the foundational, deep roots of hip hop music culture. And I like to remind y'all, as we are celebrating the 50th anniversary of this culture, this is the most dominant and pervasive music culture on the planet. And that still amazes the hell out of me. Now, this episode here, we're going to get deep into one of the core elements, masters of ceremony, the MC, the rapper. What is that all about? So we're going to have some of the best go deep. Break it all the way down to the molecular components of this, so to speak. And it's really interesting and enlightening for me because there's a lot of agreement across these various artists about who's who and what's what. This is really a good one, y'all. Fasten your seatbelt, get your notes out. You know what I'm saying? This is Hip Hop 101. This is the advanced course all the way up to the PhD level. So back in the beginning, there was the DJ, as we've laid this out in the previous episodes. This is the cat that owned the equipment, the speakers, the amplifiers, the turntables, the crates of vinyl records, and most importantly, with all the most important music and the skills to mix up a dynamic blend, mixing, cutting, scratching, to make the people move, groove, throw their hands in the air, and wave them like you just don't care. The DJ sidekick, bigging up that DJ's skills and his greatness, was the rapper. Now, in the beginning, the rapper, aka the MC, master of ceremonies, he'd mostly big up his DJ, you know, maybe make the crowd throw their hands in the air a little bit, make an occasional announcement about when and where the next party was happening, and also telling folks out there somebody might have a car double parked outside the party to go and move your car. As this progressed, this is 70s, y'all, the DJ's MC, and this is all going down in the boogie down Bronx, one of New York City's five boroughs, the DJ's MC, he began to drop some little simple raps and nursery rhymes early on to get the crowd going. And one of these early rhymes just came to me, and I remember the first time I heard this, everybody thought this was the coolest thing. This is an example of how this rapping thing started. Here was this rhyme I remember. When I die, bury me deep. Plant two turntables at my feet. Put the mixer near my head so when you close the casket, I can rock the dead. That tore the crowd up. And early rappers had a string of these little things that they would throw together. And it was incredible. You know, they would drop this during a little instrumental break of the most popular records at that point in time at a party. But this nursery rap thing, nursery rhymes, that kind of flavor, it got a lot more involved, intricate, and complex. Then it began to turn into braggadocious narratives. Superhero, street type player, the biggest hustler. You know, you could fantasize about all these things that you wanted to do, wanted to be, wanted to see, and put that in your raps. And this was how it began to grow. The next guy, and the next guy, and the next girl heard it. Let me add something to it and take it to the next level. This is a key, important component, the foundation of hip-hop culture in development on the music side. Kind of like a child starting off in school, learning how to read. You know those little books, you know, Tom, Jane, Dick, you know, the real simple sentences, simple story structure. But that was the foundation that began to develop and turn and literally take this thing to a Pulitzer Prize winning level. Narratives on a level of the greatest writers in history. That's right. I'm going to say it. The greatest writers in history within this hip hop thing. There are those that have hit those peaks. And this is still going on to this day. That's right. And by the way, Kendrick Lamar did win a Pulitzer Prize. And this is all leading us to today, once again, where hip hop is the world's most listened to and dominant form of music. Now, something that hip hop culture does on the slang side is take words and kind of do a remix on them. The remix is all through the culture, from what we do to records or what has been done to different records to what's done to different words. There's an evolution going on, different meanings, an expansion of meanings, a denotative dissection, breakdown, if you will, of language. And hip hop has done a hell of a lot to that. And once again, here we go.
The definition of the MC has been changed over the years, the same way the definition of freestyle has been changed over the years. So it's like a dictionary. When you look at a dictionary, there's words that used to mean something, and those words have become archaic, which means that they don't exist anymore. We don't use those words. When you read in the Old Testament, it was written in Old English. You don't talk like that no more. Nobody walks around talking like that. If you look at slang words, we would say chill. We would say, yo, that's the joint. The Funky Four made a song called That's the Joint. But now we don't say that's the joint no more. Cats might say, yo, that's crack. Or if somebody is saying something is, no cap. You know, all slang is forever changing and it's evolving. So when you look at the definition of the MC, I come from the first generation of hip hop. So the definition of the MC is the master of ceremony, which means he had to do more than just rhyme. He had to be able to know how to command the crowd and also rhyme at the same time. And Melly Mel might be the guy who was the inventor of that phrase, the MC, because I never heard it used before him. So based on my learning and my teaching of the first generation, the MC is the master of ceremony, and he does more than just rap. If you look at Melly Mel, or you look at Cowboy, or you study Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, Cowboy, at the end of his record, he said, now clap your hands, do freak dance, become a victim of circumstance, because the bread to the butter, come on everybody, let's rock one enough. Like, he's rhyming to clap, to a soul clap. And then he said, say ho, and then he's call and response, crowd participation, which is a whole nother subject. Call and response is become archaic, and only very few have the understanding and true mastery of crowd participation. I've been fortunate enough because I learned from some of the architects. But that piece, with being able to talk to an audience and at the same time rhyme, is the true meaning of an MC.
Daddy O, rapper, producer, deep thinker, and founding member of classic Brooklyn rap group Stetsasonic.
So I think in the very beginning, I think it's different, right? I think a little, it's interesting because in the very beginning, the MC was what the MC was at the Apollo, or what the MC was at any of the bigger clubs in New York City what the MC was at the Garden, right? Which was the master of ceremony. Was basically a host, right? But it was a little more than a host because that person had a little more flair than just a regular host. They might even be a performer, and they hosting what went on. Down the line, we became rhymers. In the very beginning, guys like Hollywood was not really a rhymer. There was rhymes in what he did, but he wasn't really a rhymer. The real story is, Flash is DJing a party. He puts the mic down. Keith Cowboy picks up the mic, and the rest is history. And that's our legacy. Our legacy, anybody from Daddy-O to Kendrick Lamar, is from Cowboy, because Cowboy is the one that really started doing those rhymes. See, Hollywood and them was doing that Wu-Tang thing, I wanna go blah, blah, blah. That's not what he was doing. He was a former army guy, so he got on the mic and did hip hop, the hip hip, the hop, you know, and he started rhyming, you know. So the MC kind of evolved from just a host, or a flamboyant host, a energetic host, to a guy that actually rhymed. And then I love Rakim's description, because he said MC to me means to move the crowd.
No mistakes allowed, cause to me MC means move the crowd, 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 crowd.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, there's no question about the contribution that the great Rakim has made to the culture. Fascinating to hear Daddy-O's recollections. And it's important to understand what Rakim really brought to the table. A sense of cool, conscious, embodied street hustler. And most importantly, a passionate, poetic flavor that everybody picked up on right away, elevated the game to the next level.
Fat Joe, recording artist, Bronx hip-hop legend, and author.
This is crazy, right? Because when I was coming up, there was a disparity between the MC and the rapper. Now it pretty much turned into the same thing. But an MC has always been a master of ceremony. Has always been a person that can rock the crowd. Whether it's through lyrics and rhymes, or it's through, let me hear you say, ho!
Ho, ho! Well, it's like that.
You know, you have Busy Beat. He wasn't known as the greatest lyricist rapper. He was known as an MC because he was the master of ceremony.
Now I want everybody from Avenue D, do me a favor. Let me hear y'all say, da, 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 dee, 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 da, da. One more time out loud, come on. Come on, y'all.
You ever been to a party? You know, that's how Khaled started. And that's how my man Pretty Lou got his. You know, you ever notice there's people who come to parties and you could be playing the same, but it ain't the same. And when this person grabs the mic, he just uplifts the, it's the gospel.
Fascinating to hear Fat Joe reference his good friend DJ Khaled, and amazing to think about what this brother has achieved, what this Palestinian brother has made happen. You know, a hip-hop DJ, mixtape maker, who's turned himself into one of the greatest hype men / producers of all time, okay? He closed out the Grammy performance this year, which of course was a salute to the 50 years of hip hop, but a pretty telling occurrence, putting the DJ back in the forefront, but in a new form and fashion. Ice-T, actor, rapper, West Coast hip hop pioneer.
A rapper can rap. Like, a lot of rappers can rap. I mean, they go in the studio, they can bust bars, they can stand in a cypher and bust bars. An MC controls the crowd, so an MC knows how to host. An MC can talk between the records. An MC can stop the music and keep the audience engaged with just conversation and then go back into a rap. So he has total control of the stage. A lot of rappers, if you watch a rap, they'll actually turn their back to the audience. They can't really, they're not comfortable in front of the audience. So, and some people are more MCs than rappers. Like Busy B is more of an MC than a rapper. KRS-One is both. He can control a crowd. So when you're a master MC like Kane or somebody like that,
You can do both. That's the difference. A lot of cats, it's kind of like, to me, it's like a graffiti artist, like a cat that can draw in a black book, dope, but can never put it on a train.
Shaheem Reed, music journalist.
In a hip-hop sense, an MC has always been not just somebody who can rhyme, because to me, that's just, you're a rapper, but an MC is somebody who's able to control the whole stage construct. So you're rhyming, you're also able to bring the crowd to attention, you're also able to control the crowd, you know, do call and responses. You're also able to vibe with your DJ, or if you have a band, vibe with your band, and able, it's like you're almost like a conductor. You know, you're giving out signals, your whole presence controls everything that's happening on that stage. And I think that is a clear difference between a rapper who just gets out there and rhymes, or never gets out there, he just in his house rhyming on his computer, as opposed to an MC who can get on stage and just deal with it. If you're an MC and you get on stage and say, for example, your DJ's equipment goes out and there's no sound, an MC knows how to keep that vibe going even without the music and keep the crowd engaged and keep, you know, whether it's call and responses, whether it's, it could be anything. You could be cracking jokes. You can spit freestyles. Whatever it is, your job is to keep that motion, that stage motion going at all times.
Kid Capri, Grammy Award-winning DJ and producer.
A master of the ceremony. Somebody that can paint a picture for you and don't need a record to do it. Make you understand, because you probably went through it, or better yet, can paint a picture for you that you of something that you probably never even thought of, and make you reconsider something. A real MC, somebody that, like Biggie was a real MC. Why? Because he could paint the picture. When he rhyming, you could see what he's saying. KRS, you could see what he's saying. Rakim, you could see what he's saying. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's certain MCs that they don't need to make no more hit records. Their records that they came out with is going to be here forever because they painted the picture for you.
Master Ace, rapper, record producer.
To me, a master ceremony is the person who gets that mic in his hand at an event, a party, whether it's a party or an outdoor event or indoor event, and they basically control the audience from the standpoint that they can get the audience to say certain things, they can get the audience to do certain things, put your hands up, put your hands down, they can make announcements, somebody's car is getting towed, you know, last call for alcohol, and also to highlight the DJ, the guy that's playing the music, because typically DJs in those days anyway didn't really get on the mic per se, so they needed somebody to tell the crowd about them. And so that's how this all started. They needed somebody that had a good relationship with the crowd, that wasn't afraid to be in front of the, you know, audience with the mic and tell the crowd, this is DJ such and such, tearing it down, and tell you about him. And so the way it started was, in the midst of telling you about the DJ, some masters of ceremony decided to say some cool little things that rhyme to kind of entertain the crowd even more, some little, you know, poems or whatever with a rhythm. And so it got to the point where it wasn't as much about the DJ as it was about these guys that were getting on the mic talking to the crowd and getting the crowd to say ow and say ho and do this and do that. Those guys became the entertainment instead of the DJ. And that's where things shifted.
Well, it's one for bass, two for two. Come on, Jay. That's how level.
In terms of today's culture, the master ceremony is the guy with the mic in his hand in front of the audience that's going to be able to entertain that audience with everything that he's doing on that mic and around that mic. And if you don't get control of the crowd, then you can't call yourself an MC.
LL Cool J, actor, rapper, entrepreneur, considered one of the best to ever do it.
I just think it's the ultimate form of self-expression. It's a way to explore your inner power. It's a way to, you know, to dive deep within yourself and touch other people. Because when you truly, truly explore your inner power and tap into what's inside of you, you connect with other people. Because specificity is universal. So it's like, to me, the MC, his confidence, his bravado, his storytelling, his technique, his way with words, his approach, it gives other people the license to be free. So my job, you know, I make your troubles disappear. I set you free. When I step on a stage and you lock in for me or me for 60 or 90 minutes or whatever it is, you get an opportunity to be free. And that to me is like performing a service. Like that's my job. That's what I was born to do.
Daddy-O. What it takes to be a skillful MC, I will say first, it's study. But I also have to expand that, because I do believe, this is just Daddy-O, I do believe that some people are just solidly born with that talent. I work with Biggie. I believe he was solidly born with that talent. There's certain people you work with, you believe they're solidly born. And then the rest of us, like my pastor used to say, the rest of us bumblebees, we have to learn. So that's what I say, for the most part, what it takes to be a talented MC is to study. Because if you think about guys like Black Thought, you think about guys like Eminem, you think about guys like Kendrick or J. Cole, that's all study. Yes, those guys are probably naturally talented, but they had to kind of get their chops. They had to figure that out. They had to figure out where they was going to flow. They had to figure out what their voice was going. Even guys like Andre 3000 didn't sound the same at the end that he sounded in the beginning. So I think that studying is a really, really big part of being a talented MC, lyricist. I mean, you know, I mean, I know they have all types of subcategories, but I think for the most part, I would use the word study.
Fat Joe.
To be a true MC, you got to write your own lyrics. Now, have I come to accept, like, you know, Kanye West, one of my favorite rappers, he don't write all his lyrics, but his cadence, his flow, I've come to bend the rules as we got older. Growing up, it was like, you write graffiti, you better go steal the spray paint. Because if your moms gave you money to buy the spray paint, it don't mean the same thing. If you're an MC and you don't write your own, it ain't valid. You know, that's how I grew up in hip hop. The diversity, you know, I love, you know, my favorite hip hop record of all time is Vapors by Biz Markie, rest in peace. Because I grew up so poor, I grew up so f***ed up. They treated me like they used to kick me while I was down on the floor. You know what I'm saying? And then when I started getting a couple of dollars hustling and I got in that Benz and I got in that Beamer, I would ride through the same block past the same motherfucking slow motion bumping the Vapors. They caught the Vapors. But now what we say, Biz Markie is as lyrical as Rakim? No. But Rakim was coming with consciousness and never even cursed, right? Then you got Slick Rick who was telling these stories that were like, insane. Now, once upon a time, not long ago, when people went around and lived life slow, and all the time, and people were living like they all too does, there was a little boy who the f- was thinking about it. He got the shot. Dave, the show, D, shooting dope, who don't know the meaning of what to know so bad. You know what I'm saying? So he was telling them stories, you know, Lauryn Hill, consciousness, Black Power, Chuck D. Fight the Power, X-Clan, Poor Righteous Teacher. And then you had Kid and Play Dancing, the nice guys next door. Then you had Latifah talking about who you calling the bitch. Then you had MC Light. Light is a rock. Heavy E made me to this day, when I just fly, I'm still trying to battle Heavy D. Heavy D's the flyest fat guy ever.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. On Purpose's mission is to create impactful conversations to help you become happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating. You'll be laughing, crying, and have so many impactful takeaways after this interview.
I had this, like, you know, homie loving friend for a long time. He's very disrespectful to me, very kind of messed up to me. But in my mind, we could get married. We had the most beautiful babies. He handsome. I'm pretty. Like, it would be so cool. He's smart and intellectual. I'm kind of smart, I think. Like, it would be fun. We have the best conversations. Like, we have fun, but then he would treat me like crap.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.
Hey fam, I'm Simone Boyce.
I'm Danielle Robay.
And we're the hosts of The Bright Side, a daily podcast from Hello Sunshine that's guaranteed to light up your day.
Every weekday, we bring you conversations with the culture makers who inspire us.
Like our recent episode with Hollywood royalty Regina and Raina King. We talked about the creative power of women's relationships.
I feel like, thank God for women, like, especially when it comes to Black women, the way we lean on our mothers, our grandmothers, our sisters, our friends. We're just each other's pulse. I mean, it's molecular, you know?
Listen to The Bright Side from Hello Sunshine on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, it's important to point out that everybody here speaking, giving you this insight, info, has the idea of the MC in their DNA. A lot of these guys were been around long enough to have seen it, seen the best doing it, and are really giving you that deep understanding of what the MC is. You know what I'm saying? This is a really important factor here because, you know, there's people that go out and sell tens of millions of records, but nobody's talking about how many who sold what. It's all about the skill factor and the command and control of the crowd by that MC, that master of ceremonies. And by the way, that's spelled E-M-M-C-E-E, thanks to Melly Mel. Shaheem Reed, music journalist.
Well, I mean, Rakim said it the best, and MC means to move the crowd. And when I think of masters of ceremonies, MCs, I automatically think of like the live show first. I think of the greats who could just get on stage and don't really have to do what's perceived as a lot, because these dudes do a lot, but they don't do what's perceived as a lot to really just shake a whole arena. Like, I gotta give it to Dougie Fresh, man. Like, you know, Doug is one of the ones that he may not have like 20 massive hits to do a versus or something like that, but you put Dougie on that stage and I seen him rock a crowd of all type of audience. I seen him do like an Essence Fest crowd, an older grown sexy crowd. I seen him rock for kids. I seen him do on YouTube. You can look at it. He's at a Scientology convention where it's all white people and a lot of little white kids, and Dougie is marauding that stage, like killing it. I seen him do a crowd with just like young cats. I seen him do all type of flavors. So Doug is one of the ultimate master ceremonies. I gotta give it to my brother Buster, just at Carnegie Hall. He's gonna kill any stage he gets on. Him, Superstar, DJ Scratch It All, the late great DMX, KRS-One,
Kanye, you know, before his unfortunate remarks and behavior, Kanye, absolutely a master when he get on that stage. So when I think of MC, the first thing I do, I think about just the live aspect. And that even goes back to the origin of hip hop, because, you know, most MCs, I would say all MCs, before they made records, they was doing it live. You know, they was in ciphers. They was, you know, even if they wasn't in ciphers, they was rapping for their friends at the crib or on the block. So it's always that live aspect first. And then when I think about MCs, this is my thing, but when I think of MC, I don't think about just live. I also think about mastery of the craft. And I think I call the MC somebody who's mastered the craft.
Peter Guns, hip hop artist and Bronx representative.
I like a well-rounded MC, somebody that got skills. I come from the era of skills, patterns, a storyteller, a performer. So bars, storytelling, and there's a little bit of a swag to it, an it factor that you had. Slick Rick, for me, was one of the guys that had that it factor when it came to storytelling and bars and his voice and everything. Big Daddy Kane was lyrical, but also a hell of a performer. Dougie Fresh, hell of a performer. So there's different levels of that. But lyrically, Rakim was nothing to play with. But he wasn't going to give you much more than those bars.
A bar in rap and hip-hop is a unit of measurement that means four crotchets, or four single beats worth, of lyrics.
So there's just different levels. So, you know, LL Cool J, the girls loved him. He could rap for the girls, but the streets loved him too, because he could get Grammy and go at whoever wanted. So I was a huge LL fan, man. He kept Lights alive a long time.
Daddy-O.
It's difficult for me to say the most skillful. I think Black Thought fits in that category. I think Jay-Z fits in that category, if I'm going to say skillful. I think Nas fits in that category of skillful. Definitely J. Cole fits in the category of skillful. Definitely Andre 3000 fits in the category of skillful. Right now, a guy like Locksmith fits in the category of skillful. Apathy fits in the category of skillful. If you want to just talk about skillful MCs, guys that take them words, Busta Rhymes fits in the category of skillful. Guys who take them words and flip them, I mean, they do them things with them words, is them, and then pretty much 70% of the battle rappers. I mean, I learned, the new Daddy-O learned from battle rap. I could not do what I do right now if it wasn't for battle rap, because I saw them do things with words that I never thought we were able to do, because I'm so used to that regular 4-4 pattern. Yes, I'm making sense with it, but I'm also, I saw them do some things and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I could do that. And I start writing lines like Conrad Murray a case because I killed Mike. I never did nothing like that before. You know what I'm saying? But after I saw that, so I would say the guys I mentioned, but 70% of the battle rappers fall in the category of skillful.
Yeah, I totally agree with my man Daddy-O for bringing up battle rappers. Oh my goodness, such an important part of the hip hop game. And I mean, it's not about songs, but those that master the art of that verbal wordplay. And I want to give a special shout out to the kids that helped really accelerate the battle rap game. Smack, who started out with Smack DVD early 2000s with those incredible battles. His partner Beasley, those dudes created a rap battle league, and there's a half a dozen other leagues around the country and also around the world where people compete and spit those words in the most incredible way. Yes, indeed. So many great battle rappers out there that once again have amazing power with those words, making them rhyme, telling stories, doing all that goodness. Yes, indeed, my man Daddy-O.
Shaheen Reed, music journalist.
My illest rappers may embody certain things, but I would have, the top person I would have to give it to is Black Thought, because I've spent the better half of 25 years Like, for example, one of my best, closest friends is Kamal in the Roots. So I've spent the better half of 25 years witnessing Black Thought. Like, I don't have record references or anything like that. I've seen this man freestyle for like 2 hours straight, and you would think it was a record or it was something he memorized. I've seen this. He's probably the most incredible rapper I've ever seen in his pure element. You know, I don't count making records as an element like that, right? Those are controlled environments. I'm talking about the equivalent of a tiger, for example. A tiger at the circus is doing nothing but jumping through hoops. That's a record. A tiger in the wild is spazzing the hell out at all costs, at all times. That's who Thought is to me.
Yeah, that was well stated, Shaheem. You know, when you take it out of the controlled environment of, you know, working with producers and beats and, you know, making records in studios, you know, that's a different thing, an important thing, but a different part of the hip hop game. But like a tiger in the wild, I want to agree, Black Thought, without question, one of the best that ever did it. I've been a big fan forever. Yeah, Black Thought's the rapper from the Roots. About 5 years ago, he dropped a 10-minute freestyle of just verbal perfection. Unbelievable. Just go to, after this episode, hit YouTube, search Black Thought, Funk Flex. He dropped amazing, just went on and on to the break of dawn at the height of what it's all about. Yes, indeed. Totally agree with you on that one, baby.
Then I've seen other incredible things, like, for lack of a better, you know, people wouldn't think about it, but I've seen Too Short stand on a stage every night for a month straight, 30,000 people minimum in the audience, and never rap. Was able to stand there, hold his mic out, start the line off, and see 30,000 people do his show for him. That's an MC. Even a Jay-Z moment. Like, I've seen Jay-Z pull a Michael Jackson, like, get out on Summer Jam and just stand there for like 5 minutes with his shades on, and 60,000 people lose their brains just because it's Jay-Z, you know, and that's a moment.
Master Ace.
Some of the best that I've seen in my years, Big Daddy Kane, Biz Markie, Dougie Fresh, Run from Run DMC, KRS-One. There's definitely several others that are people that I watched and paid attention to. I got a chance to understand what it took and what it entailed, and I incorporated something from all those guys into how I put on my show.
Sir Mix-a-Lot, rapper, songwriter, record producer.
Most influential. Rakim. I'm going to say that because there's a lot of styles that emanated from his. You know, now people say, well, not yours. Yes, I do have songs where, you know, you lost to the boss and got knocked off, rip off rhymes, get tossed because they all soft. So step off horse and sip on the mix sauce, cost to be the boss and pay you with a right cross. That's Rakim. Come on, man. You know, all that stuff like there. And I was doing that on records, but those records didn't hit because people don't buy Mix-a-Lot for that reason. I get it. But I would say Rakim. I'm not doing them in any order. I'm going to say DJ Quick, because, and I'll tell you why in a minute, because my next one is, I'm going to say N.W.A. And why do I say those two separately? Because N.W.A., in my opinion, made gangster rap popular. I mean, they blew it up, right? Probably almost invented it, really. I mean, as far as somebody from a helicopter view would say. But DJ Quick did something a little bit different and skewed it into something musical and almost R&B-esque. So you almost didn't realize he was talking that gangster at the same time. And it's like, it was really cool. So I'll say them three. Obviously, Public Enemy. KRS-One? KRS-One is pure hip-hop. I mean, he's pure. He ain't doing no, I'm doing all kind of crazy shit. I'm doing shit that he shouldn't do. He shouldn't do that shit. I'm just, and then people's like, man, that motherfucker would hate you. I don't give a f-. You, I respect that motherfucker, man. I was like, God damn. I mean, he just literally, And to win that crowd over, he won them all. It took me 3 songs and I got him going, right? It took him the third person he talked about. And he wasn't, there was no music. Look it up. It's on YouTube. No music. He was just spitting. I said, yeah, okay. I can see what he means now when he talks about the origins of hip hop and stuff like that, and why he's so adamant about it is that something is missing. And I didn't know it until I saw that.
If you're like me, hip hop is in your body. Who am I, the MC?
Russell Simmons, record executive and entrepreneur.
You know, the rapper is the storyteller. The rapper is the one that talks what's in the heart. Now, MC of a party is one thing, but the rapper, he's telling the poet. He's the poet who's expressing what's in the heart of his heart first, but he's mostly, if he's popular, in the, what he's saying is in the hearts of many people, but not being expressed a lot. So the rapper is the guy who can really say a more heartfelt version of what's been polished over and moved around and made to fit, made acceptable, made accessible. The rapper can, like any poet, can tell it how it feels, not how it's always been written, promoted, how it really feels. So that's what a good MC should be able to do.
On the next episode of the 50 Years of Hip Hop podcast series, we're going to look at the shift and what went down with hip hop music from the 1980s into the 1990s. This was a really dynamic period where a whole lot of incredible advancements happened. A lot of major artists hit the picture. And Yo MTV Raps happened. That's right. In the fall of 1988, MTV, which was only playing rock and roll and, you know, it wasn't really showing black music any love, decided to do something radical. Gave Me a Call and Yo MTV Raps hit the air. And I featured a lot of these artists that emerged in this period that really defined the culture in a really impactful way. And then we're also going to put a frame around that golden era of hip hop where so much went down. Once again, on the next episode of 50 Years of Hip Hop podcast series. This episode has been executive produced by Dolly S. Bishop, hosted and produced by your boy, Fab Five Freddy, produced by Aaron A. King Howard, edit, mix, sound by Dwayne Crawford, music scoring by Trey Jones, talent booking by Nicole Spence.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every week on Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso, I invite an artist, writer, or politician to come to the table and speak from the heart in ways you probably haven't heard from them before. Some of my favorites are with Tom Hanks, Questlove, and Cate Blanchett. In recent weeks, I talked to actor Dan Levy, director Ava DuVernay, and the editor of The New Yorker, David Remnick. You can listen to Talk Easy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.